if you feel a part of the Agape family, where we serve the Lord, one Lord, we believe one Lord, one faith, and one Spirit. And one God, the Father of all, who's above all, he's through all, and most important, he is in us all. Amen. So for that, we say thank you. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this time for our scripture reading, which we come from Genesis chapter 19. And let us hold the third division of Psalms. Our scripture reading will be coming from Genesis chapter 19, and we're going to hold the third division of Psalms. Amen. And as you listen to the testimonies, amen, this afternoon, I believe you can say, everybody seems to be going through something. The scripture says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but that the Lord will deliver him out of them. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, thank God for the Lord, hallelujah, the Lord will deliver them out of them all. And Paul, in encouraging the brethren, said that we shall through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So when I read those scriptures, I believe we're going to have some hard times. Amen. I believe we're going to have some challenges. Amen. But the most important thing in the midst of all of our hard times and our challenges is the fact that God is with us. Amen. Let us start reading here in the 12th verse of this 19th chapter of Genesis. If we have it, let us say amen. And for those that do not have it, it is on the screen. Let us start. And the man said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them, and they brought them forth, and sent him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Hold not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant has found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me, and saved my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become hither. Therefore the name of the city was Zoar. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this afternoon. Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, if we had 1,000 tongues, we couldn't thank you enough for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we couldn't thank you enough for being our God, our Savior, our protector. Now, Father God, on this afternoon, acceptable in thy sight. But Lord, send thy word, O God. As you said in the word, thy word was common and healed them. Lord, send thy word to heal. Lord, send thy word to strengthen. Lord, send thy word to deliver. Most of all, send thy word to save and set free. And for this we thank you, can we all say in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
We should have had a little more resounding amen than that. I don't know about you, but I can tell you, amen. God has been good to me. Amen. When I watch the news and I see everything that's happening all around us, I can say that God has been good to me. On Friday evening, we went over, and this is going to help kind of support that. We went over on Friday how in many times our trials can be so severe and so difficult that inadvertently we charge and accuse God of being at fault. Amen. And the scripture we read in Romans chapter 9 asks the question, is there any unrighteousness in God? Amen. That's a huge question. Is there unrighteousness in God? Paul went on to say, God forbid. Amen. And you know, as you think about some of the plights that some of us are going through, amen. If someone had given us a script in advance of us going through what we were going through, many of us would have fainted and had given up. We would have said, I cannot do that. I cannot take that. As my wife said in her testimony, she said, if we had not believed in God's goodness, amen, if we had not believed that God would sustain us in the land of the living, many of us would have gotten discouraged and quit a long, long time ago. But this morning, we're reading about Lot and the sin that surrounded him. Amen. Sin is the rope we post the Bible says to anything. Sin is a reproach to any people. No matter who we are or where we come from, sin is not good. Lot and his family were faced with a sinful situation, a sinful city, and a sinful plain. Everything around Lot was sin. And we, earlier when the Lord had revealed unto Abraham that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the and the gross depravity and all of the wickedness that was taking place. Amen. Abraham began to negotiate with God. Amen. Many of us negotiate with God. Amen. Because we want to make sure that God is fair. Amen. We want to make sure that God is not unfair. And as Abraham began to negotiate, and he said, well, Lord, if we find 50 in the city, will you destroy the city? God told Abraham, he said, no, if we find 50, I won't destroy the city. If there are 50 righteous, I will not destroy the city. But Abraham continued to presume, as he said, on God's mercy, and he negotiated all the way down to 5. And God told Lot, Abraham, sorry, if I can find 5 in the city, I won't destroy the city. Amen. So after that, God sent the men of God, the angel of the Lord, down to Sodom and Gomorrah. And once they get there, they find out how bad it really is. Amen. And they said, they told Lot, they said, well, God is born to destroy this city. Amen. Now remember, God had already said, if I can find how many? 5, I won't destroy the city. So Abraham, Lot, in his zeal, amen, to have mercy in the city not destroyed, went out to find his family. Amen. You know, most of the time you think, as long as I'm dealing with my family, they'll understand and they'll make consideration and they'll do the right thing. So Lot went out to his sons and his son-in-laws and his married his daughters. He only had 4 righteous. He had him, his wife, and his 2 daughters. All he had to do was find. This afternoon, God needs only to find one more. Whatever he's going through, God only needs
one more.
Amen. So He wouldn't leave the city. Amen. So that's what we pick it up here in the, I believe it's in the 15th verse, says, and when the morning arose, then the angel hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of all he needed was. Whoa. Hallelujah. Sometimes in our situations, we look around and we deal and we get involved with some stuff. Because we're trying to find one more. Amen. And God, the angel of the Lord, told Lot, he said, you need to get out of the city. You can't find that one more you're looking for. Amen. So God is going to destroy the city. Amen. But Abraham did like a lot of us. We know God's impending judgment. We know the word of God and we know the word of truth. But we don't do anything. We just sit there. Amen. We're waiting and hoping. But God is the God of his word. He says in Isaiah, if I say this, shall I not do it? If I spoke it, shall I not make it good? In other words, whatever God say, I don't care what we try to do. He's the God of his word. And if he said it shall come to pass, for the word of God will not return unto him void. But if we accomplish the things wherefore he sent it, and is going to prosper to the things wherefore he had sent his word. So they're trying to figure it out, and they can't do it, again, because God did not have the one more. This afternoon, a lot of us are at a point of spiritual stagnation, because we're trying to find something in somebody that's not there. Amen. We are sitting still on God. We won't go forward in God. We won't move according to God's word because they're waiting for it. One more. Amen. So he goes on to say, he said, hasten, because God is going to destroy the city. In verse 16 said, while he labored, the men took away the altar. Amen. In some of our situations, but God has a plan and a word, and he's not going to wait any longer. Right. Amen. You keep lingering and you're holding back in your prayer life, your spiritual life. It's not what it should be. God has a word, and he's not waiting any longer. Right. Hallelujah. You're looking for one more. God said, right now, I can't focus on the one more. Brother and sister, I just need you to be obedient to my word. Don't worry about everybody else, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do it in all good pleasure. And the scripture says that we ought to work out our own salvation. Stop looking for one more. Stop making your decision to serve God based on somebody else. You make that statement. Amen. So he goes on to say the angels took him and his children by the hand, the Lord being merciful unto them, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Now, just for the sake of time, we've already read when God took him out of the city, he said, now don't go back. Mm-hmm. Amen. He wanted Lot to realize that everything behind the body is not even good. The stuff that's happened in your past, God, has not been what you need. He says, so now as you're going on by faith and not by sight, I need you when you see the destruction. God said, don't look to your right.
seem to have yet forgotten the reason that God saved us. God saved us that we might glorify His name. Amen. So in the midst of the trial, too many of us are looking back. Amen. In the midst of God trying to move us to a city of deliverance, to a place of salvation, we refuse to let go of the past. We keep looking back. So as they proceeded and when God's judgment came out, amen. Amen. We were using our current events more than provoke fear within ourselves. Jesus said you are able to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. The current events were designed to help us to discern the signs of the time, but not to create fear and pandemonium in the church. Woe be unto those pastors, amen, that use the signs of the time to promote fear and pandemonium in the church. Because if God told lie, he won't do anything. Thank God, says to God, he won't do anything. God will never allow more to come upon us than we are able to bear. 1,000 are going to fall on our side and 10,000 on your right hand. But God has made us a promise. Uh-huh. That you will not come by me only with your eye. God's only going to let us see, but it's not going to touch us. That's God's promise. That's God's assurance of us. David the psalmist said it this way. He said, oh God, hear when I cry. Anybody crying this afternoon after God? He said, Lord, hear when I cry and attend unto my prayer. Lord, I want you to hear. I want you to attend unto my prayer. Whatever I'm asking, Lord, please hear. He said, from the ends of the earth will I cry out to thee. He said, Lord, in other words, when the trials have got to me to the point that I can no longer take it, Lord, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. And we already know that the rock is Jesus. So David said, or the psalmist said, when I get to that point where it seems like all the world is against me, when it seems like all is falling, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He goes on to say, for thou hast been a shelter in a time of a storm. Yes. Lord, you've been my high tower when everything was coming against me. Why, God won't allow trouble to happen because he is a fence all around us. When Job was going about to end his trial, God, he said, Lord, I can't do anything for Job because you set a fence or a hedge all about him. That's the blessing of being saved. That's the blessing of being in Christ. God will set his wall of protection all around you. The question that we must concern ourselves with this afternoon is, where is your protection? Where are you in Christ? Are you standing alone, or are you standing with God? Amen. Let us turn to Psalm, the third division of Psalm. Where are you at this afternoon? Are you in Christ with protection? Are you faith by yourself? I choose to be on the Lord's side. Psalm 3, this is David at the lowest, or one of the lowest points in his life. Many believe this is when his son Absalom, who had taken the throne and was trying to kill him. Amen. Absalom had purpose that he was going to be king and that he was going to destroy David, his father. That's why I say sometimes you have to be careful of those that you're trying to help and protect. This was his own blood. His own son sought to destroy and kill him. Though David had protected and sheltered him, amen, when you don't get in God like you can, should be, when your mind is not led by God's Spirit, you can do some awfully ungodly things. Verse 1 reads, Lord, how they increase that trouble. Amen. Lord, if that set of things getting better, they seem to be getting worse. Amen. When I thought you blessed on this side, I got some more trouble on that side. That's why Paul and the apostle said, there's trouble on what? Every side. Amen. He said, how are they increasing trouble me? Many are they that can do, I've done. I prophesied. I've stood in the gap. I've been between man's failure and your word and blessing. But it seemed like things are getting worse. He said, many are they that rise up against me. Verse 2 reads, many there be which say of my soul. Watch your naysayers. You got more naysayers most times because the devil is trying to destroy us. Amen. Remember what the Lord told Peter. He said, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he may what? Sift you as wheat. The devil desires to destroy every last one of us. Amen. He doesn't believe that you're really saved. He doesn't believe that you can deal with the onslaught that he's going to send your way. Amen. So he said, the devil has a desire to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Amen. If he said it to the spokesman of Pentecost, brothers and sisters, what does he think about us? He desires to have every last one of us. He said, they say there is no help for him in God. You haven't heard those people ask, what are you saying for? Since you guys say your life is nothing but a mess and run amok, what are you serving God for? Amen. You know, and if somebody else don't ask you to build a plane in the playground of your mind, and he has you asking yourself this very question. What is the benefit? What is the purpose in serving God? Is no value in serving God? Since I've been serving God, things have gotten that much worse. Amen. Can we turn? I'm going to come back to this. Can we have a little Bible class as well as the word?
Amen.
Amen. Because the most important thing is I'm on my way to heaven and I'm so glad. The song said, Jesus took my heavy load and now I'm on that glory road. You can't get on the glory road till you get rid of that heavy load. Malachi chapter 3. They said there is no help for him in God. Amen. And many of us have allowed our situation to get to the point that we think it's really vain to serve God. He said, well, I don't really think that way. Well, what is your life doing? What is your life all about?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When I sweat my eyes, when I sweat behind my eyes, yes. So, amen. But verse 3, no, chapter 3, I'm not going to read everything, but we know most of this. But I'm going to read a portion. Let's go to verse 6. Verse 6 of chapter 3. They say there's no help for you in God. And when, if they don't say your life is sin because you're not faithful to God. Though God has been faithful to us, the majority of the time we make our decision is not in toward or in faithfulness to God. Though God is faithful unto us, brothers, sisters, saints, visitors, and friends, how faithful are you to God? Amen. How faithful have you been to God in the midst of your trial? I can't do this by myself. I need your help. Verse 6 reads, for I am, thank God that he's God.
Yes.
I am the Lord, he said, God is not going to change his word or his way for any of us. He's God. He's been God from the beginning, and he's God through the end, and then he will be God for all eternity. So God says, I change not. But there's a blessing in him not changing. He said, therefore, you're not so. Amen. Things are bad, God. The city is about to be destroyed, God. But I can't do anything in the midst of your trial, I will not allow you to be consumed. Hallelujah. Why? Because he's our God. Amen. He's our protector. He's our shield. He's our high power. Somebody say, what do you do when you get in trouble? Running to him. You know, sometimes we think we can disobey God and be saved. It says the righteous running into this tower and they're what? Saved. Amen. Actually, let's skip down to 1st 11. Because God is on our side, he will not allow us to be consumed. Obama healthcare, all that the new world already is doing, God says, I won't allow you to be consumed. The psalmist said, I was young, now I am old. Never have I seen the righteous in your life is in right standing with God. As long as you're in right standing with God, remember, God says, by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to tell us. If you're in right standing with God, you won't be consumed. Amen. The righteous runneth into the name of the Lord and they are saved. You can't be consumed. God's word will not be altered nor changed. Whereby two invisible things, it's impossible for God to tell a lie. That we should have a strong consolation. Amen. What are you doing? I'm resting in Jesus. And then in the midst of your trouble, you, now I lost a lot of hair, but I can pull it out. I think it's the red hair. But in the midst of your trouble, you're losing hair, you're turning gray, you got a high blood pressure because you don't have a strong constellation. You're not resting in Jesus. You're trying to fix everything that you cannot fix. So it says, I will rebuke the devourer when you're obedient to me. God will what? Rebuke God the devourer. Let's go to verse 12. All nations, when you're right with God, you don't have to proclaim it. You don't have to tell everybody. People will see it. Amen. Because God's going to rebuke the things that shouldn't be taking place in your life. Now this afternoon, there's some things that are happening in some of our lives. But we have not been righteous or obedient to God, so God will not rebuke those situations. God will not alter those situations because we have not been right standing. Righteousness is right standing with God. Somebody said, well, I did it for my husband, I did it for my wife. Thou shalt have no other God before me. We have no excuse for disobedience to God. Our obedience has to be to God. For any time we become disobedient to please another one, we're not standing in righteousness. The Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, he continues on, he said, not that I have ahead. He said, for I do not stand in my own righteousness. This afternoon, some of us have made ourselves right, but not before God. Therefore, God will not change some of those troubling situations in our lives. He just keeps extending more mercy. Amen. We know we're wrong. We know God sees them because God says, I'm not a man that I should lie, and not that I'm the son of man that I should repent. He said, I see it not as man see it, for everybody is judging you based on your outward appearance. God says, I see your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. So you justifying and making ways and trying to make up excuses. God says, I see your heart. Amen. When nobody else sees you, God says, I see you. I see the iniquity. I see the denial. I see the things that are down in your heart. So I cannot rebuke the devourer. Every time we do more fighting God by doing it our way. Isn't it time to let go and let God? Isn't it time to stop trying to please everybody else? Amen. We are all here one day before the judgment seat of God. And when you appear before God, you're not going to say, well, I went to him because of my mother, I didn't do it. I went to him because of my father, I couldn't do it. I went and did the right thing, God, but my husband wouldn't let me do it. I went and did the right thing, God, but my wife wouldn't let me do it. Lord, I went and did the right thing for my children, you understand? God is going to say, no, brother and sister. He said, because repeatedly I came unto you trying to get you to repent of your evil way. I tried to get you to seek the Lord while he may be found. I'm afraid this afternoon some of our time might be running out. Amen. Because the Bible says the Spirit of God will not always strive with men. Some of our time may be running out. So Isaiah the prophet in chapter 55 said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Amen. It's time for us to start seeking after God. Amen. Call your He said, you send his name to serve God, and what topic is it that we have? What good is it that we live by God's word? Amen. I keep hearing that God is going to do this. I keep going to God thinking things get worse. Your words are still against God. You're saying it's vain to serve God that there's no profit. Amen. God is on our side. God is fighting with us. God is trying to stop the consummation of things in our lives, and we just keep acting out against God. Stop acting out against God and stop using everybody else for a reason why we won't make the right decision. Isaiah told the children of Israel when they're going so far from God. He said, come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But let us reason, let's get it right. Amen. Stop drawing away from God. God is your protection. Amen. What are you talking about? Always trying to find one more. Amen. One more. It's time for us to surrender to God. It's time to stop being so far away from God, but then it's time to get closer to God. The things that used to happen, they're not important anymore. We're going down south for the last council. My uncle's been sick. He's about 85. He's still preaching, but. And he was sitting there, he said, no, if you can't say something to strengthen me, if you can't say something to encourage me in God, he said, don't say nothing at all. He said, time for foolishness, Lord. Amen. He said, I don't want to hear all of that other stuff. He said, my soul is almost ready to meet the Lord. He said, so if you can't say anything to encourage me, don't say anything at all. Then he looked at me, he said, you're a preacher, what are you going to say? I said, well, all of them are preaching. They said, yes, sir. But you know what he's saying? What they love, they're saying, you know what? The foolish thing for this world, I don't have anymore. He said, you know what? I almost died 4 or 5 times. He said, when I was the one-on-one with God, all of them suffered, man. He said, so now I need to make my preparation to meet my Savior. This afternoon, status quo is not important anymore. Pleasing this money, housing, paying all this, it's not important anymore. Please, God. Do the things that's going to help you be able to say, it's well with my soul. Amen. Have you ever thought of eternity? How long is eternity?
Forever, and ever, and ever, and ever, and then keep on going.
Well, your future eternity will be decided based on your present life. Your future eternity will be based on your present life right now. Examine yourself right now. Amen. You know, the scripture says, let us examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith or not. Your future eternity is based on your present life. If God were to judge you right now, would you go to heaven? You know, God knows. If God were to judge you right now, would you go to heaven? Amen. If God was to pull the covers back and reveal those sin, secret hidden things, would they be things to honor God or dishonor God? Would your speech, your action be to honor God or dishonor God? Amen. Because every day we should be making preparations to meet our Savior. So right now in your present condition is you and God. Not me is not important what I think. Because the Bible says, fear not him that's able to destroy the body, but fear him that's able to destroy both the body. Right now, if God were to judge you, if you were to expire at this very moment, would you go to heaven? That's a very important question. None of us know what tomorrow holds or what's going to happen. But when we in Christ, we know who holds tomorrow. If you're out of Christ, are you assured that if you were to expire, that you were made for heaven? You judge yourself. It's not important. That's what Paul told them in Corinthians. Examine yourself. Right now, I can't examine you. I don't know what you did last night. I don't know what you did last week. But you know. Amen? Examine yourself right now. How did you react in the last situation you were in? Did God get glorified that you speak against God? I don't know, but you know. Examine yourself. The last trial that seemed to be overwhelming. Did God get the glory? Or did you express yourself before a whole lot of bitterness? And the Bible says, a fountain cannot yield bitter and sweet water at the same time. Examine yourself. If you can examine yourself and say, Lord, woe is me. You can start ministering. As we all say, if you can examine yourself and say, woe is me. God is great. If you can examine unrighteousness, if you can examine man's holiness and man's will, God is great. I don't know about you, but I was 19 years old, I heard the word of God. And what moved me to this thing was, the preacher said, if you were to die right now, would you make the heaven? I was afraid to get baptized, because if you get baptized when I was a young teenager, my cousins were saved, I didn't want to do it. And they talked about the Holy Ghost, who pronounced out, get that word, ghost, get us all the way. But they asked me a question that night. If you were to die right now, would you be saved? I said, you know, when I look at my life, I can say, no, I don't think so. He said, well, what are you going to do about it? He said, don't you want to get baptized? I said, no, I'm kind of afraid to be knocked on the water like that. I don't know if I can trust the person that's put me under. He said, well, if I think for sure, if you don't get baptized, if you don't get filled with the Holy Ghost, you won't make it to heaven. Because in order for us to be God, we must be born again. After he reasoned the speech of the scripture, I said, you know what? All I can say, Lord, is I'm ready. I can't keep fighting against God. I can't keep resisting God's will. Examine yourself just after salvation is the most important thing. If you can't say that you leave these doors today unsaved, it's time for you and God to have a one-on-one. It's time for you to say, Lord, I need you, and I need you right now.